Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
The first album or the second album? Or the second album or the first album? Or the first album or the second album? Hey everybody, it's Patrick here. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs on behalf of myself and Jim Lanahan. This is another episode in our series on second album syndrome. Hope you've been enjoying it so far. If you didn't listen to the first two episodes, try to go back and catch them if you can. It's just me kind of explaining how I came to experience second album syndrome in person back in the 80s. It really turned out when it was. A lot of things happened back then. But I wanted to talk a little more about albums that I feel were strong follow-ups to notable debut albums. And I know we talked about that a little bit yesterday with the REM example. But I've got a few more I'd like to bring up and hopefully interesting and plant a few seeds in your mind. Maybe it's a first and second album that you particularly enjoy as well. So definitely trying to plant some seeds in the minds of listeners here. So I think this would be a cool little series to follow up on the work we've done this week. So let me run through six picks I have here, and I want to talk about each of them briefly. The one that really stuck in my mind, and the one that when I was thinking about putting this series together was part of my argument, was the band Television. Now, of course, Marquee Moon was one of those untouchable debuts. I mean, just the title track alone is enough to make it one of the great debut albums of all time. But it's got a ton of other great songs, and I've probably played it more than or as much as any record I own. I always found Adventure to be a really good album and something I really, really enjoy. And the funny thing about Adventure is I'm not sure if, well, certainly critically, it wasn't quite as acclaimed. And I don't know if others find it as enjoyable as I do. But no, certainly I don't think it's as good as Marquee Moon. I mean, I don't know if anything is. I mean, that's on a level that's way, way up there. But I think it's a really good record. It's subtle, definitely. But it's got a beauty about it that it's kind of hard to describe. It's understated. It doesn't have this sort of, you know, wild highs and lows of the debut album, but it's beautiful. And really, with only eight songs on the record, too, it really has this charm and staying power that I've always really, really appreciated. And so I think, in some cases, you know, as good as it is, I think it's slightly underrated. And those are really, you know, the two albums that the original lineup really made until later, you know, when they got back together and put some other stuff out. But I really want to put that one out there, Adventure, as a great record. And Ain't That Nothing?
We'll be right back.
The next one I have on my list is by Rainbow. Their debut album, a self-titled album, Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow, came out in 1975. A very, very good record, and definitely turned the heads of a lot of people in the heavy metal scene and beyond. But the follow-up, Rising, just the next year, was a really interesting record because after the debut came out, Ritchie Blackmore kicked everybody out of Rainbow except for Ronnie James Dio. He got a new drummer, Cozy Powell, a total maniac, Jimmy Bain on bass, and Tony Carey on keyboards. This new lineup began rehearsing and touring in late 75, and they went into Musicland Studios in West Germany with producer Martin Birch in February of 76. And it didn't take long for them to knock out a classic in Rising. So you've got Run with the Wolf on here, which is a great song, Starstruck, A Light in the Black on side two, where there's just two songs, 2 8-minute tunes, and the epic is Stargazer. I mean, with Ronnie James Dio's voice just way on top of this wild maelstrom of rock and roll, I think, man, Rainbow is a classic second album. And you know, you can't discount that first one. It's very, very solid. But Rainbow Rising is a great second album, in my opinion. I think they're both very, very strong, the first two Rainbow albums. And hell, the third one's good, too. Next on my list is a really interesting one. It's Heart, Little Queen. And why I find this very interesting is because the first debut album that Heart put out, of course, is Dreamboat Annie, the famous record with the Wilson sisters on the front there, looking in different directions, you know, like an unforgettable cover, Magic Man, Crazy on You, White Lightning and Wine on side two, How Deep It Goes, some great songs on that record. And then what happened was that debut album was a hit. And the record company, I believe it was called Mushroom Records, might have been out of Canada, decided that they would take, well, there was a dispute, in other words, basically without going too far into detail, about an advertisement that was taken out by Mushroom Records to promote the Dreamboat Amy album. Heart and the record label had a falling out, so they couldn't come to an agreement on it, and Heart basically just kind of walked away from the studio and basically put the record out without Heart's permission. And here was this album called Magazine, and a legal battle ensued, and the Wilson sisters and the rest of Heart were quite upset about all this, as you can imagine. And they went into the studio with a new contract with Portrait Records, a division of CBS at the time, and started recording their true second album, Little Queen. And on Little Queen is, right off the bat, the song that they wrote to basically express their displeasure with their former record label. And it was the hardest hitting song they'd ever recorded and probably ever did record. And it remains a riff classic.
So
talk about an album that featured in our 90s album madness bracket countdown poll that I know you're voting in each day. It's a record by A Tribe Called Quest, The Low End Theory, and it followed up their debut album, which was released in 1990, People's Instinctive Travels and the Paths of Rhythm, which is quite a record in itself, made quite a mark and a big impression, I think, and has stature has grown over time. But then they followed it up with The Low End Theory, which many people feel is their peak. It's a record that you want to listen to from start to finish, if you can. I mean, to me, it's a perfect CD album because there's no break in the record where you have to go and turn it over. It's quite an amazing lyrical record and just shows a group like in full flow and achieving, flying past the peaks, I think, anyway, that they got on their debut album. So Low End Theory, it was great to see it in the 90s album countdown poll. Unfortunately, didn't quite make it all the way to the finals, but still a strong showing from Tribe Called Quest. Now, the next one may seem obvious. I don't know. To me, it was kind of obvious, but when I was putting this list together, I was like, I have to include this, and that is Metallica's Ride the Lightning. Kill 'Em All is one of my favorite Metallica records, one of my favorite heavy guitar records of all time. First time I ever heard my friend play it on cassette. The next day, I went out first thing at 10 o'clock in the morning when the record shop opened and bought myself a copy of it. It's just totally killer. But, man, Ride the Lightning. Just totally killer stuff. I mean, four songs on each side, and they're all really excellent. Even the 8-minute closer, The Call of Cthulhu. One of the weirdest Metallica songs, but it's amazing. Comes right after the incredible Creeping Death. Then you got, of course, the epic For Whom the Bell Tolls and Fade to Black closes side one of Ride the Lightning. But man, oh man, oh man, is that a great one. And an unforgettable record. It really is. And a great, great Metallica cover with the lightning and the logo right there in that dark blue haunting kind of scene they have on the record there. So that's a classic. And I'd like to close with, well, maybe my favorite second album coming after a first that was very notable. And of course, the Beastie Boys debut album came out in 1986, November 15th. I remember for a while, you couldn't escape it. Everybody was playing that record wherever you went, even amongst all the rock and roll and indie rock friends that I hung around with. You still heard that record all the time. And I mean, it's so much fun. It, you know, you go back and listen to it now, it sounds like what it sounds like. But man, I mean, it's got Brass Monkey, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Fight for Your Right, The New Style, all these incredible songs. And some incredible drum samples too that were taken from the record. But when it came to sampling, and when it came to taking things to the hilt of sampling and creating one of the most magical stews of records ever made, you have to tip your hat to Paul's Boutique by the Beasties, a record that came out after the band left Def Jam, where the debut album was on Def Jam, and they moved to Capitol Records, and this was their Capitol Records debut. Some have even called it the pinnacle of Sampledelia. They worked with the Dust Brothers on this as well. And it's just a classic. I mean, it really, really is. From the picture on the cover right down to all the songs, it's just so killer. I mean, it's hard to even pick one from this record because they're all so great. I love the little samples and snatches that are in here, too. I mean, Ask for Janice is like one of the funniest things ever.
The best in men's clothing. Call Paul's Boutique, Ask for Janice. The number is 718-498-1043.
But the whole thing just flows by in like this B-boy booyah bass, if you know what I mean. Goes from A to I, the last thing that closes the record. This 9 sections of the B-boy booyah bass suite, 12 minutes and 33 seconds long, that closes Paul's Boutique. So that would be my last pick for strong second albums. Maybe that'll help you guys or light some little sparks in your mind to help you think of second album syndromes, because we'd love to have some contributions if anybody is interested in that. If not, I'll just keep on talking, because you know I can do that too. So we'll close out today with something from Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique. I still don't know what I'm going to pick. There's so many good choices here, but you'll get to hear it next. And tomorrow, I'm going to come back and talk about some second albums that weren't very good and didn't go as well as the artist would have hoped. We'll have some fun with that to close out the week. So thank you for listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and we'll be back to talk to you about more second album syndrome tomorrow.
He had no hair.
Lost that shot, he was caught out there. Saw the convertible driving by. Loaded up the slingshot, let one fly. He went for his to find, he didn't have one. Put him in check, correct, my ankle.
The egg, a symbol of life. A course of down to bust out to white.
I pulled out the gem, he thought it was a joke. The trigger,
I pulled his face, the yoke.
Reached in his pocket, took all his cash. Left my man standing with the egg mustache.
Suckers, they come a dime a dozen.
Caldado Jr.